whatever you're facing in your life, whatever it is, God wants to be there for you. He desires to comfort you. Matter of fact, His Spirit is called the Comforter. So, there's nothing better than building a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether you're an old timer trying to do it, and this year I will turn 61. I haven't lived for God my whole life. I've had people tell me, well, you've been in this your whole life, ain't you? Well, no, sadly to say, I haven't. And I say sadly, because if you met God as a little bitty youngster and you kept faithful to Him, God bless you. You have a better testimony than what I got to give. Mine has been misconstrued and all over the map. As a young person, I didn't do always what I wanted to do, or I did what I wanted to do, put it that way, but I didn't do what God wanted me to. But this day, if you got a testimony where you have been before God and you've stayed righteous and you've come to God when you're little and you got a better testimony than anybody out there. Don't think that you don't. You have a better testimony than those that have been out there and tasted of the world and found it not to be what they want. And then they come in and they got all this they can tell you. Well, guess what? Your testimony is far greater, because God has kept you and God has sanctified you and did something for you. Today, my message title might be a little bit different, but it is what God give me, and I cannot preach other than what He's given me. I told somebody even yesterday, I said, I wrestle sometimes and I fight because, and I even told my wife last week, I said, I wonder, should I keep on preaching? I mean, people are not wanting to hear what I got to say. It seems that all that's coming to me is about the woe and the gloom and the doom. But you know what? I believe that God's got something better than gloom and doom. Okay, though I might touch on some of the things that are happening around you in the world today, I don't know where the Spirit's going to take me, but I am going to follow the Spirit of God, because that's all that I know how to do, y'all. And I'm sorry, but this message is for you. It is simply entitled, Unprepared. How many of us are totally prepared for every aspect of your life? Will you raise your hand? I don't see one hand going up. There is not one person that is totally prepared to face everything in this life at every turn that life is going to give you, unless, and I'm looking out at the congregation, truthfully, I should have seen everyone's hand go up that knows Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I have got the message for today, and it is, you really are, but you think you're not. If you've got Jesus, you got what it takes to get through anything. And you should have raised your hand and say, I'm prepared. But I'm going to give you some classic examples today of the scriptures. And if you've, you know, I'm just going to ask you, go ahead and stand with me.
Tell you how I am this morning. I've got a pair of glasses on that I don't normally wear right now.
I do wear them, but I don't normally wear them all the time. And they're those little safety glasses that they pull apart in the middle, and I can snap them right back together again. I can pull them apart, put them right back on again real quickly, and I can see again. But I left the house to the elite with these, Brother Al, and God had given me this message already, and He prepared me for it. And I told the wife, I said, oh, man, I said, I got them crazy glasses on, and I wasn't prepared to wear these glasses today in service. I really wasn't. I wanted to take my better glasses that I think they make me look a little bit better, and I need all the help I can get. But I got a pair that looks a little bit more snazzy or a little bit more up-to-date than a pair of safety glasses that can snap apart in the middle and pop together again. But I'm going to ask that you stand, not for me, but for God, in obedience to God, for the reading of the Word of God. But I'm going to say a prayer before I get going anywhere, because I want God to give you something that you can chew on for a while and know that He is your comforter. He is the God of your salvation if you don't know Him today. He is your healer. He is the maker of all things new in your life. The creator, he's still creating and making things that are twisted and torn perfectly whole and right. So would you bow your head in prayer with me right now? Heavenly Father, I know that the next words out of my mouth, they're being spoken by me, God, but let your spirit speak through me. Let this people hear, oh God, what you have to say, not what I have to say. I am but a vessel. I ask that you pour your spirit into me and out through me, oh God, that anybody who hears the next words from my mouth, that they will know, God, that you are a God of all things, a creator of newness, a giver of hope where there is no hope, a restorer, God, of things that are broken, a patcher, oh God, and when you put it back together, it's better, God, than it ever was before, because you put me back together for a torn, messed up, scrambled up mess, God, and you've made me something, Lord God, that sometimes I am amazed at how much you have loved me and given so much to me and where you have put me to what I used to be, much more so than those that look at me saying, have you always been a preacher? No, God, we know that I have not. But your word, God, and your spirit has always been surrounding me, wounding and swooning and trying to make me something, God, that I am not. And I want to thank you for that today. And everyone, God, who is hearing this message, God, I ask that you let them see you in their life new and fresh and give them hope, oh God, and a breath of your spirit. Give them a desire, oh God, to want to be by you and have you through them and be in them, God, a hope for everyone else. That when they look at them, God, they will say, surely you have been with the one called Jesus Christ. Because the very life and the breath of your spirit speaks through them. And their actions, God, will speak louder than words. Let it be so, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. Please remain standing this morning, and we're going to go to the scriptures. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans 8 and 28, a familiar passage of scripture. Many of our children quote this. Many of them know this. They could tell it to you by heart. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called, and I'm emphasizing there that the, to them who are the called according to, now I emphasize this last part, his purpose. His purpose. To those who are the called. If you do not know God, you are still the called, because his calling is always reaching out. His hands are always reaching out, and the calling has always went forth. From the cross to now, even before the cross, his spirit was trying to call those. He called Abraham before he knew God, and he began to call him. He's calling you today. He wants you to be the called, and it is his purpose that he's calling you to. Maybe your purpose has not been his purpose, but he wants you to find his purpose today so that you can have happiness, peace, and joy in your life. If you do not know him, you do not know peace. You'll find everything out there trying to find something that will satisfy you, but only he and his purpose in your life will bring you a solitude to your soul person. You are a body, a soul, and a spirit today. But the soul of you is what is unhappy if you do not know God. But if you know God, you have peace in your soul or in your spirit man also. the little lady who lost her child, she was running to the prophet of God. And she said, all is well with my soul. She was in the worst predicament of her life. But all of a sudden, she's making a proclamation that you should be making today. All is well with my soul. The soul of man is where you sit at ease with God. And only in your soul will you ever find wholeness and happiness. Without him, you will never have anything that makes you happy in this earth. You will have joy for a moment in doing some things because there is pressure in sin, but it is only for a season. And when that season passes, then a lot of times and most times, you're going to find that you are more unhappy than where you started from. Your journey that took you there, that brought you that high or that brought you that thrill for a moment is over with. And the joy ride of the roller coaster of life is now on a downward plunge again, and you go into depression because you don't know Jesus Christ. But if you know Jesus Christ, you can say, all is well with my soul. Philippians 10, or 2, 10 and 11. This is one that maybe you know and maybe you do not know. It is a statement made by God himself through his written word to us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth. He's got all things beneath his feet. His feet is his footstool. Heaven is the Lord and the earth is his footstool according to the scripture. So everything on this earth is under his feet. Okay, there's coming a time, whether you know not God or whether you do know God, you're going to bow before your creator. Whether you fight against the church or mankind that's professing Christianity, or whether you don't and you are bowing before God now as a Christian, you will continue to bow sometime in your life. If you're a Christian, before this creator, because he is worthy. And you're going to find that you need him more and more every day. Because Brother Al said it this morning in a scripture, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is going to deliver them out of them all. But guess what? Many are the afflictions of the unrighteous. And if they don't know God, then what, Brother Al? They won't be delivered. They're going to face it. They're going to be in sorrow, and you may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing for so long for me. I appreciate that, but I honestly don't think it was for me. I think that you're doing it for God this morning. And your obedience is a sacrifice. If your legs got weary and you were older and whatever, I apologize to that, but you were doing it unto God. And all things that you're doing, do unto God. Because if you're not, then you're just missing out on a little bit that you can have. And he wants to give you more and more and more. And that's the goodness of God. There are things in your life that you're going to find that you are unprepared for. And continually, whether you're old or whether you're young, some of these things came to my mind as I was preparing this and God was giving it to me. We find the parents living in their home and all of a sudden they have the child on the way, Brittany. And you think that I've gotten everything in order and only when it gets here you find out, man, I was not prepared for this. How could this happen? Now all of a sudden the child is here and there, you're going to go through some things that you were unprepared for. Though sometimes you're going to feel like many are the affliction of the parent, but the Lord's going to deliver you from them all, and that's his promise. As a parent, you're going to find that the baby is going to come up with colic sometimes. And how many have children already? And you've been faced with that dilemma. That child is not always going to be completely healthy, though you are a Christian and you have taken them to church faithfully, and they're not going to be well every single moment of their life. Face it. That's life. Okay? And so you're going to have to learn to call upon your Creator to take you through some of those things. There's going to be times when you fix the best of meals, Mama, and you're thinking, man, my family's just going to love this. And all of a sudden, hubby comes home, and he's already ate at work. Or somebody gave him something, and all of a sudden, the food is here. And, well, I slaved all day over this, and I was just planning on this candlelight dinner thing, and all of a sudden, you were not prepared for that situation, but the Lord will deliver you if you keep the right spirit. Now all of a sudden he's got a great lunch for tomorrow that he wasn't planning on. There is joy if you keep the right spirit about you for the things of life that are coming your way. We're not prepared as a nation where to some of these things, and where some of the things happening around you are going to happen and transpire. They are out of your hands, but they are never out of his hands. He's got everything in order, and he knows exactly what he is doing. Do not think for a moment that he stands up there pulling his hair saying, oh, what am I going to do now? No, he's creator. He knows beginning all the way to end, and that's the end of this that you are at right now. He knows every single trial coming your way, and he has prepared for you a perfect way that you can be happy, satisfied, and walk through it. Now, you might not think that during the time that it's happening, but trust me. He's got even that in his hands. If you learn to get his peace of the Holy Ghost in your spirit, man, you can run to him. And though the tears will roll down your cheeks still yet, or you will carry a burden still yet for the situation, you know that your ending will be better than your beginning. That was out of your control. And the last will be maybe out of your control, but your end will not end in remorse and regret if you turn it to God, because he has plans for you of eternal joy, eternal happiness, without a tear, without a sorrow, without a feeling of affliction any longer. He's got something planned for you far greater than you have ever experienced. Even when you walk with him on a daily basis and know him, you cannot comprehend nor understand the things he's got for you planned for your latter end, which is eternity. If you do not, you can resist him, you can fight him, you can do all you want to do, but you are unprepared for what can happen to you. But I can tell you, you already know without me stating where the unrighteous go. I don't have to bring that up. You know that. It's a signed, sealed, delivered statement of fact that the unrighteous will not inherit eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. You will be in the other place. And I'm not even going to speak it because I don't even want to give him no glory today, but it was prepared for him and his angels, not for you. It was prepared something unholy, unnatural, to punish that unbeliever. So there it is. I'm leaving that there. I'm going on. But every knee will bow before the Creator. Before they go there, their knee is going to admonish and say, yeah, you were right. Today, you're not of that group. You're of the group that want the joy, the happiness, and the peace in your life. God gave me this at 5 o'clock this morning. No matter the cost, no matter the origin, God can take every situation, turn or use it for his glory and will. Either to make men and women recognize him, or to get his point across to every man, woman, child, boy, and girl, God has the situation right, knowing what he is doing. Think on that for a moment. Chew on that, if you will. The worst of the worst, he's got that. The best of the best, he's planned that. Every moment and breath that you get is a gift given to learn him, to be with him, to be a little bit more like him, and to have a little bit more joy and peace. So if you don't know him, you're plodding along like a horse or a mule in a field in the hot sun with the sweat dripping off your body and your mind in a turmoil because you're in some traces that you didn't want to be, and you're just plowing a field for your enemy like Samson grinding at a wheel and going round and about every day. After walking with God or talking with God, and I'm talking to you, backslider, today, or one who knew God and now has let it grow cold in his life. You're like Samson. Your eyes have gotten plucked out, and you don't see the joy, and you don't feel the peace, and you don't know the happiness any longer because your eyes have been blinded, and you've been put in the traces of your enemy, and you're grinding the corn around and around and around in a circle. And maybe the concrete under your feet has gotten worn from your feet, and you're so unhappy, and you're so unchallenged to be in a place that you don't want to be, but you don't know how to get out of it. Really, you do. If you're a backslider, you know how to get out of it. You just got to bend your knee before God and bow yourself will and say, God, you were right. I was so wrong. And I give you a time and a place to think on that for a moment today, because if you do not know God, that's what you're doing. You're just going around in circles, and you're so unhappy any longer. The situations have gotten out of control in your life, but you can get them fixed in just a breath of life being escaped from your lungs with a name called Jesus. Would the church speak his name for me just for a moment on the count of three? Jesus. You say it again. It's the most beautiful name you'll ever say. Jesus. 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 The longer you stay saying it, the more you'll call him to your side. The more you call him to the side, the sooner your salvation and your freedom and all the depression, the worry, and the fear can come off of you. There have been those throughout the scriptures that have been challenged by the situations of God, where they didn't know what to do and found themselves in a calamity of a situation. The one that comes to mind most quickly in my mind as I was preparing that was Jonah. In Jonah 1 and 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And when the mariners were afraid and cried everyone unto his God, they cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah had gone down into the sides of the ship. He lay and was fast asleep. So that the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call unto God. If so be, God will think upon us that we not perish. Now you know the story of Jonah and the well. I don't have to reiterate it today. Thank you, Brother Al. I appreciate that. I need all the help I can get, even from God and from the saints. And you need all the help that you can get from each other in the church today. So if you're outside the church, I call you, come on in. Jonah, don't stay out there sleeping because the ship is in a mess. For those that don't know, look around you and find out if it ain't the virus going about. It's the preppers that are gathering everything. Those that don't know Jesus are trying to prepare for something that's coming. They don't know what it is, and we don't all know what's going to happen, but they're gathering up toilet paper. They're gathering up food into their storehouses. They're getting guns and ammunition because they are afraid. They know something's on the horizon, and it's gonna happen. But the church, many in the church, not this church, I'm not saying here, but yes, some may be here, are sleeping in the bow of the ship, and the ship is being rocked about with a tempest and the tantrums of the world, because Satan knows that he has but a little time, and he's came down here. He's trying to set up the groundwork right now. Well, he will have a dominion and a power through the Antichrist to walk as God walked on the face of the earth. 100% man, but 100% devil. He's called the Antichrist. When he manifests, and you see it, the scripture tells when the moment that that begins to happen, guess what? God said, get ready, I'm taking you out. You're not going to have to face that. But guess what? There's a time called Jacob's trouble that is directly preceding that. And I believe that's which where we're at right now. The troubling of the water around you of the world. It's not only happening here in America. It's worldwide. If you will look at the news coming across the internet or get some other papers from other places, you're going to find out it's not only here. It's there too. They're doing the same thing that America's doing. They're scared. They're freaked out. They don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, if you are in Jesus Christ, you know what to do. Stay steadfast and sure according to the purpose God has designed you. Learn to worship with all of your heart. Learn to give everything that you got, that God can give you everything that he's got. Because you don't know about tomorrow, but you do know who holds tomorrow, church. And if you keep your eye on the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, he will take you through the worst of your situation. Jonah was fast asleep. Awake thou sleeper that is in the church. Come to attention and understand. Life is short. And death is sure, but you don't know when yours will come. He's coming like a thief in the night. What is a thief in the night? I can tell you because I studied a little bit to look and to try to find out. The thief in the night, in the Jewish tradition, they had to keep the lamp in the temple filled with oil and burning continually because it represented the one who was to come, Jesus Christ. And when the oil was in the lamp, it lit the tabernacle and it told the people, come on inside, because if you're in darkness, you can come into the light and feel the security of the light, because in the darkness, the darkness has to flee. You know with yourself as a child, you could get scared of the creepy crawlers under your bed. But one moment that mama would say, what is it? Why are you screaming? Why are you crying? And flipped on the light. Oh, it's nothing, mama. It's okay now. You had mama there. And I thought something was under my bed. And together you peek under the bed. And he ain't there. It's just like the old devil. He wants to put fear into your heart. During the temple time period, that's what that light represented. It represented God being in the tabernacle that anyone at any time could run into. And it stayed burning during the day, and it stayed burning during the night. But most people, I'm not saying everyone, especially now because we got modern day electricity and man thinks he's innovated and he knows better than God and don't have to sleep during the night any longer. Excuse me for being facetious there, but I just wanted to put that in. Night was made for sleeping in. As a natural man, when it got dark, you would go to bed. And you would rise up early in the morning to give God the praise. You know, that's the way you were designed. But if you want to work all night, that's okay. God don't have no thing in the scriptures that I can see that it's a sin or wrong to work during the night. Some people choose to, you know, that's okay. Maybe they get their biological clocks in their mind or whatever in their humanity kind of messed up a little bit, and it's easier for them to sleep during the day than the night. I don't know. But I know that that oil represented God, and it had to be kept burning during the night. Now, that's not a chore that most people would want to do, to stay awake all night. So they would choose different ones out of the tribe to keep the oil and make sure that it was sufficient to keep that oil lamp burning during the night. Okay? Now, they had high priests and they had those that were called into the ministry, but they chose common people to do this chore. Out of the tribes, they would choose one to make sure the oil is, and there could be a strong gust of wind come, and you know, we want this thing always burning because it represents God amongst us. Church, we want God always amongst us. Keep your oil in your lamp filled that it burn bright, and keep your wick trimmed. Okay, what is the wick of your life? It is the part of you that knows to do good that sometimes does not. Okay? And when it does not, be sure to quickly run to God and let him trim off that out of your life, that you will be a light in the darkness, so that when you step out of there, people know that you still have God with you. Or when the situation arises and you got to meet the challenge, you do have the anointing for that split moment of second. It could be just a second and they're gone from here and you need to pray for them and that God would heal them, and you could be that ambassador for that. I don't know, you know, but I do know those situations do arise. So they would choose these people and they would go there. But not everybody was faithful into that charge of staying awake all night, Brother Al or Sister Davis. Not everybody comes to prayer meeting, but we should. Okay? And if you're not at prayer meeting, I pray that we're praying at home, or that we're keeping God in our prayers continuously like he's asked us to do. And when that one would fall asleep or doze, I don't know how often you hunters have been out there, and all of a sudden you found yourself, you wake up. Oh, I've been sleeping. Is there anything around? And you're looking around you. I found myself in a situation this year. I thought I had everything planned, but I was unprepared. I got all my stuff ready. I got everything packed and in order and set out the night before. And man, I tried to think of everything because I don't want to get out there and have something. I've had them tell me stories that I got out there and didn't have shells for my gun. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to get out there and not have my hunting knife after taking my quarry, and all of a sudden I can't clean the animal and I got to drag it with its gut or whatever in. Yeah, and by the time it gets to where it's spoiled already or what. I don't want any of that. We don't want any of that in the church. We want to stay ready and be watchful. But those in that tabernacle, sometimes the best intentions they had, and they maybe had planned it just like I did, all of a sudden they find themselves dozing. Well, guess what? It was up to the high priest to make a round in that temple. And he would come around and he would make sure, and maybe he would converse with them, but maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he would just do like some of the security guards now, and they just walk their beat and they'd go and sit back down and read their book again. You know, maybe that was like, I don't know. Okay. Maybe he'd go back and go to bed. Maybe he had someone else that would wake him ever so often, and I don't know how they worked it for sure, but I do know that he would make a round and make sure that that individual was staying awake, because that was an important part and a very important part, just like it is in the church, that we stay awake and diligently working for God. Well, if he caught them sleeping, guess what? He would go take another little lamp and light it off of that lamp. And he would sneak up to that individual that was sound asleep, and he would touch it to the hem of his garment.
Now, what do you think that would do to somebody who come awake and all of a sudden is, hey, I'm on fire. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost fire either. He was literally on fire. He would be patting it out and scrambling, and he would run out yelling and screaming, and all of the camp would know, and it was an embarrassment that happened. Don't let your lamp or the Spirit of God have to ignite you through another individual calling that you were wrong. Stay in tune with God during this season. It's very important. I'm not one, and though I do like Christmas music, I'm not one that likes it a month before Christmas season gets here, and that's all that I hear on the radio. And I complained about it sometimes, and God kind of got on to me. They're singing about me. They're talking about my coming. And I'm like, yeah, God, but they so commercialized. And I'm trying to reason with this God that we serve. Yeah, but they got it so commercialized, God, that it's almost meaningless. Why can't I hear my other stuff that I like? And that's better worship. And God said, that's what the world's choosing. The Lord wants to make you just like they are. He wants to put you in the shopping malls or at the computer trying to buy when you don't have. You know what? We need to get back to the basis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of giving all year around, not only to our brothers and sisters, but to our loved ones. They are to be receiving things from us, words of kindness. If you don't have anything to do, they are to be receiving our prayers. They are to be receiving our supplications. All these things is what the church is, how we really keep our lamps burning. And that's part of what I wanted to talk to you about. Because Jonah was sleeping. Don't sleep on God today. It's time to awake, O sleeper, because they're calling upon their gods and they cannot deliver them. Molech is not going to save them. Allah is not going to deliver them. Confucius can't give them a word for the hour. They're all dead and gone. Only one who ever came back was Jesus Christ. It was witnessed for 40 days as he walked among those that were his believers, and he showed himself to them. He delivered the goods. He took it there, and he did what he was supposed to do at the cross. But then he came out of the grave. Guess what? Come out of your grave. Shake off your grave clothes. Come alive in Jesus Christ, because the world is looking and longing and needs Jesus to be their Savior today. In Job, and I didn't give this one to you. I apologize, bro. Back there in the board. But Job 11, 13 and 19. I've used this before, but I love this portion of scriptures. And this is written not in the King James Version here, but you can kind of follow it back there if you want to on the wall. But I want to read it to you, the church, today, how that it's written in another version rendered to us. Yet if you devote your heart to him, if you stretch out your hands to them, if you put away sin that is in your hand and not allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then free from fault, you will lift up your face. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your troubles, recalling it only as waters that have gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. Yes, church, there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court you with favor. I don't know about you, but I like that last part. I want the world to court me because they know that I have favor with the One Most High. I might not have money to situate, and money that says is the answer to all things. And you can answer money with a lot of things, but it's not the complete answer to all
things. Only Jesus Christ is that. And he's better than money. He's better than anything out there that you'll ever find to satisfy. But anyone coming to me, I want to be the one to be able to give them some of that word that is better than honey in the honeycomb. And I don't know about you, but I like a little honey every now and then. I like to put it in my coffee. I like to spread it on peanut butter and put it on two pieces of toast. I like honey, but I haven't found anything that I like better than Jesus Christ. His word is sweeter to me than the honeycomb. And when I get into the word and I sink my teeth down into it, trying to comprehend it and trying to understand it, I might not have a full revelation right then, but you can trust me and trust God on this. If you'll stay with him long enough, he'll give you the revelation. If you'll come to church long enough, something will happen and it will explode in your spirit like a firecracker on the 4th of July. And you'll see all the pleasant colors of God and you'll think, wow, that's what that's talking about. But you got to learn him. It don't happen overnight. I remember trying to tie my shoes as a little kid. How flustered I became because I was unprepared for tying my shoes. And I would try to do it and they would flop around. And mom was constantly grabbing my feet and teaching me to tie. And finally, almost in desperation, I was like, I just wish I could tie my shoes my own self. Guess what? When I got desperate, and I sit there and crack, all of a sudden, it just, like a flower, it happened. Jesus will open to you the same way. The door's been open all along, but in your blindness of your flesh, you kept walking into the doorpost. And that's the way life is sometimes. You might be unprepared for some of the things coming your way, but he's got this thing in your life and wants to make it right. Accept the way God made you. Be emptied of self to make room for God. Allow God to cleanse you, even if the process is painful. Be filled and constantly refilled with the living water of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your life in ministry in God's direction, and you will have your direction steadfast and sure. The only reason you don't know what to do is because you haven't spent enough time with him to get confident to know to put your right foot in front of your left or your left in front of your right. He's got this thing in your life and wants to show you the way to walk and live and have happiness and joy and peace where you ain't got to spend all your money buying things that you're not going to use. I got some people, I'm telling you, it's almost humorous, but it's sad. 30 rolls of toilet paper never opened in one container, and you got how many containers? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. A freezer completely stuffed to where you can't hardly get the door shut, and you ain't got nothing to eat? What? Something's wrong with that picture, church. You plan and plan and overplan, and God saying, trust me. I want to be the one that supplies the need. Sometimes he's overblessed us so much and given us so much that we're unthankful. We jump down to the next meal without even giving thanks, myself included. I am like you in every aspect of my humanity. But I have learned to in everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, how can I be thankful? This just happened, and surely God wasn't in it. Surely God knew about it, or it couldn't have happened. He might not have caused that situation, but he is the answer to your peace in the middle of that situation. And in your tomorrow's tomorrow, when you look back, you'll see he was carrying you just like the sands of the sea thing that's out there that you all know so well. He carries you if you know him in the midst of your situation. If you don't know him, you don't know peace. Lord, pray that we may be vessels that you can use. Modify our lives with loving hands to be whatever you choose. Jeremiah 18, 1 and 10. As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. Timothy 2 and 21. For whosoever cleanses himself from what is unclean will then be a vessel set apart for my use, for honorable and notable purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be one as the clay in the potter's hands. I don't want to take matters into my own hands because I found I'm just a mess in this natural life. I don't want to have my own way. I told God, have your way, not mine, but thine be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give me, oh God, of that bread of life that not only I can eat and be filled. And when my flesh don't want to, God, take pieces and parts of my unselfish will and give it to somebody less fortunate than me that's got less. You might feel unfortunate today. You might feel like you don't have anything to offer. You might feel like you're just a throwaway that nobody cares, but he always cares. And you are a vessel designed by his hand to be used for glory and honoring him, for showing him to the world, for having him to walk beside you, for having him to be your guide and your spiritual insight. Through your eyes, he wants to look out. Through your hands, he wants to touch and make whole. He's still in the business of creation and creator. He is always going to be. Never will he ever not be a sovereign creator of all good things. He has made all things, and by all things exist, and only by him do they exist. And he wants to use you. He wants to satisfy you. Not only will it satisfy you, but surely your cup will overroll and over abundantly bless others. Like Al said, he down and shaken up and running over, he wants to bless you. And the running over will be running over to the world because they need Jesus. You need him, but they need him desperately that don't know him. Would you bow your head with me as I pray for you? I have much more I could give to you, but I don't want to. I believe the Spirit of God is calling you today to be higher in your purpose for him than you ever thought possible. You're not useless. You are a living being to express his will on this earth. You are designed by him to be something with purpose. And he wants to do with you what you want him to do with you. Because you can't, he always can. And because you will, he always will. He's wanting to use you for a higher, honorable mark than you've ever been. Heavenly Father, right now, Your word has went forth of surety. I know what you gave me was from you. We don't want to be asleep. We don't want to slumber. We don't want to have you chastise us with fire or to bring brimstone into our lives of correction. So we humbly, God, ask you this day to change us, to make us like you, to put the design, God, in our minds and our spirit with wisdom and understanding as only you can do, that we are your children and the people, God, of your name. We want to bear you proudly, God, to the world. Though persecution seems to be happening all where, God, we're asking, God, even if it come nigh our door, that we be ready, God, and faithful in the endeavorment to express you how you want to be expressed to them. Some things will happen that will seemingly be out of our control. You are always in control. And God, even as I was unprepared for this deer season and I spoke earlier, I sat in that tent and you gave me this message. I can do it because you're with me. As I brought the rifle, God, without glasses to my eye, when I normally cannot see very well, and you enlightened my eye that I could see the reticles, and the shot was placed. Surely, God, you helped me to feed my family. As surely, God, you're going to help your people, God, to hit the mark of the high calling in you. Because it's your design, God. And you promised to never leave us. You promised never to forsake us. Use them mightily, God, on the arena of life. Some, oh God, are going to be vessels that are going to be honored. And some will feel like they are dishonored. But let them never dishonor you, God, of the glory of your name. Let your spirit go forth, God, even in the midst of persecution and tribulation, whether it be here, God, or there, or anywhere around this world. Let the banner of Christianity rise strong, God, because you are the church, and we are but vessels, God. Use us for your glory, and use anybody in the sound of my voice this day, oh God, for the purpose that you've called us to do. I open, God, not only my arms, I'm God in the church. For anybody who feels like they've fallen short of hitting the mark, God, to proceed, God, to you, to call out that for. Jesus, I ask, work on the soul and the spirit of the man this day, or the woman, or the boy, or the girl, whether they be here or there. I know you won't refuse them. As they call on your name, oh God, ignite with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come alive in their life, that we all would be like you, Jesus, in your precious, lovely name. Let it be so. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If there's anybody who wants prayer, maybe you felt like you're falling short. Maybe you're there already and you know that you're not falling short, but you just want an extra boost of the Holy Ghost. It's not wrong to overdrink in the Holy Ghost. You know that, don't you?